to prevent or reverse chronic illnesses, you would think more of lifestyle. What are you doing, or what is the patient doing that is affecting their health? Versus if traditional medicine, we only look at what happens afterwards.
Hello and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. On the show, I interview peak performing innovators in the creative, social impact, and earth conservation spaces. I also bring you ideas and techniques that you can grab and use to set goals, create, and unlock your potential for changing yourself and the world. And now let's get to the show. Hello, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. Thank you so much for being here and taking the time. And I'm super grateful to my guest today. She's doing amazing work, and I can't wait to introduce you to her and her to you. Dr. Amanda Atkins, MD, is a board-certified internal medicine physician, health coach, and owner of Enlightenment Health and Wealth. She has a deep passion for ensuring that everyone has a chance at a healthy and happy life. I love that. Her most recent focus has been to help women who are overweight prevent and possibly reverse chronic illnesses such as diabetes, heart disease, and high blood pressure. Both through her medical and personal experience, she knows how our lifestyle can lead to remarkable changes in our health and our ability to live our best lives. Amanda, thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's very honored to be here to talk with you.
I am really fascinated, frankly, and I just want to jump right in. I'm really fascinated about the fact that you have taken your medical practice in this direction, in preventing illnesses, because I note that a lot of times we go in when we're sick to the doctor rather than before we get sick. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what brought you to the point where you went, you know what, this is important. Prevention is important.
Yeah, so actually, it started back with my own journey and looking at my own health. And it started when I was just a teenager and I found myself to be overweight and not feeling great and unhealthy. And as I grew older and trying to get myself healthy, I just learned what was to be the best things for my body. But then also my family, my grandparents, they were not the healthiest, and then end up getting more and more illnesses as they grew older. And I was just like, there has to be something else that I can do to prevent this from being my future. Since I knew I had those genes, I would more likely go down that same path. So what could I do different? And then I had a lot of patients that would also ask me, you know, what can I do to stay healthy? And that kind of blew my mind, because I was like, I don't know. That was my first thought. I was like, we weren't taught that in medical school. We were just taught, you know, how your body normally would act, and then what happens when it has pathology in there. And so by my own journey and then hearing patients that actually were interested in this, I was like, okay, I need to find out more and actually educate myself, and so I can educate others on how they can actually prevent illness also.
Oh, I love that. That's so great. I think it's amazing. And I also think I'd love to know a little bit about what are some of the different approaches, right? Because if you're approaching things differently, obviously you're doing things differently. What are some of the ways that you approach reversing or preventing chronic illnesses versus what someone who might be a more traditional medical doctor might do?
Yes. Yeah, so to prevent or reverse chronic illnesses, you would think more of lifestyle. What are you doing, or what is the patient doing that is affecting their health? Versus if traditional medicine, we only look at what happens afterwards. So say, you know, you have a diabetic patient that comes in, their blood sugars are high. The most important thing that we usually were taught in medical school is like, okay, what are your blood sugars? And we have all these different medications and all these different categories that we can give you to try to control your blood sugars. But it really doesn't necessarily make you a healthy person. It just makes the numbers better, right? And so I usually tell patients, I was like, yeah, I can give you a pill. That's easy for me. That's what I was trained in. But are you going to feel better? It will make me feel better. It may make you look better because I see your numbers, like, okay, your A1C went from 8 to 6. But do you feel better? Most people have side effects from the medications that they take. So then they tell me that they feel worse. So what we're trying to do to what we thought was making you better is actually making some people feel worse and actually do worse. And even with some medications, people still go on to progress in their illnesses and develop complications from those illnesses. So like with diabetes, a lot of people fear like losing a limb because they didn't look at their feet and their blood sugars are out of control, or even getting a heart attack, because having diabetes is almost now equivalent to having heart disease. So we actually treat them almost the same at this point in time. So a lot of people are like, well, my blood pressure is not even high and my cholesterol is not high. I'm just have a little bit high blood sugar. Why are you putting me on all these medicines? And it's like, well, we have to treat you like you had a heart attack, because that's where you're heading if we don't, you know, get your blood sugars controlled. So that's the difference. Then if lifestyle, we look at lifestyle, it's more of nutrition, exercise, stress management, sleep, social relationships, getting rid of toxic substances. So all these things that the patient now, or the client now, has to be more involved in their own health and actually do these changes. Like we talk about these changes, what they can do in their own lives, but it's not just, oh, here's a prescription. Oh, next time you come back, oh, it's still not controlled. Here's another prescription.
I see. I love what you're saying. You're singing my song. and you are, because I have hypothyroidism, for example. And what I was told was go on essentially Synthroid and it'll get your numbers back up. And I said, oh, great. That's great. That's wonderful. Except for the thing is that they told me that, for example, you still might not lose weight and you still might not have energy. And I'm like, oh, so you're telling me my TSH numbers will go down, but I still might not get any of the benefits from having my thyroid be functioning normally. And they're like, yep, that's the case. So I went, okay, I went a different direction. I went the more natural direction. I changed my diet. I started taking various supplements, things like that. So when, and I developed an exercise regimen, started doing yoga and all of that. So when you're talking to a patient who has some of these kinds of issues and they go, well, I don't want to do the meds. What are the things that I need to do? And for someone like me with hypothyroidism, for example, I need to manage my stress. My thyroid was out of whack because of stress. And that's the bottom line. So if someone comes to you and says, you know, my biggest issue seems to be stress management, what are some techniques that you might tell them to start trying to help manage those stressors, that stress in their lives?
Yeah. So first we want to figure out what the stress is and where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. So if we understand that, then we can probably gear you in a better direction. So I'll give an example for me. It's like, if I feel like I have a whole lot to do at one time, or like at work where like we have to do things a certain way and I don't like that way. I just feel like everything is coming down on me. So I can reframe and just take a deep breath. And I actually tell myself, you know, this can be a hard situation, but, I'm okay. I don't know where that came from of my mind, but I know I've been doing this for years. I just tell myself, breathe. It's okay. You're going to be okay. This time will pass and you will do fine. So first acknowledging what your stressor is and if you have control over that. So I know some things are out of my control and I just tell myself it's going to be okay. And this is what I can control. And I control what I can control. We probably have heard that before. You can only control what you can control.
Yes.
So then first when we identify that, and then breathing, I've actually stepped more into meditation. I actually just got off with my meditation teacher and learning new techniques of actually relieving the stress before it builds up. So that's another thing I also tell people, that we don't want to wait till the stress is built up in us, because then it manifests as other actual physical manifestations. So if we can do things on a daily basis that decreases our stress level, it won't build up to where it causes more problems inside our body. So for me, I go for a daily walk, especially at lunchtime. Because like I said, my biggest stressor is at work. So I feel like I'm not in control all the time there. So I take my lunch hour and walk for 30 minutes. And it's not like anything strenuous. It's just I'm out there breathing the sunlight, the fresh air. And it just gets me refreshed for the afternoon. So I actually tell my patients to do that because they usually tell me they don't have time to exercise. I don't have like 3 hours to go to the gym. I have a family. I have to do things after work. And so I'm like, oh, great. Do you get a lunch hour? And they're like, yes. And I was like, perfect. This is the great time where you can go out and do some, you know, activity. And activity is a great way to decrease stress. Then if you have other times that you can do more things, then meditation, like I said, I'm working into is good and as simple as 5 minutes a day. There's different apps that are available, or you can do like me, find a meditation teacher, a great meditation teacher that teaches you certain meditations that you can do in different times. So I have my own mantra that she taught me. And so that actually has been helping me, that, like I said, do 5 minutes a day and just keep that stress from building up. And I noticed that I don't react as much as I have had in the past. Like before, mm-hmm. as soon as something happens, then I'm like angry or I'm upset. I'm like frustrated. And now I can just like take a step back, look at the situation completely, and then just breathe. And then I'm like, okay, let's actually decide what we can do in this moment and move on from there. So it's several different things we can look at depending on where your stressors are coming from.
Absolutely. Again, you're singing my song. I want to be your new best friend, Amanda. Yeah, it's absolutely true though, because, you know, I tell my own clients the difference between a reaction and a response is how many breaths you take between what happens and what you do about it, right? Mm-hmm, taking the moment to take those few breaths, taking 5 minutes a day to meditate. And that means set your alarm for 5 minutes earlier,
right?
It does not have to be have an entire room dedicated to meditation where you go for an hour and a half every 20 minutes and you meditate. You don't want to do that, right? You don't necessarily need that. And I think that that's great. And one of the things that I'm hearing you say is that so much of this is, and I love this because this is the Innovative Mindset podcast, is mindset, right? How you mm-hmm. approach the things in your life. And yet there's a lot of stuff that we're dealing with that is coming at us all the time that we kind of have to constantly go, is this good for me? Is this the right thing for me? And there's an evaluative process there too. And that one for me is always about nutrition, about the food we eat. And I know that there's, for example, a chronic obesity epidemic in the USA. Let's focus this on the USA since this is where you work. And a lot of that has to do with our diet. And I don't mean diet like trying to lose weight. I mean what we're putting in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about how some of that, some of the diet and nutrition and some of those potential chronic diseases all relate to one another.
Yeah. So the top 10 causes of death in the U.S., seven of them are related to nutrition. Mm. So number one, heart disease. So we'll talk about that. So heart disease builds up from the cholesterol that builds up in our arteries. And therefore, where does the cholesterol come from? The foods that we eat, right? So a lot of manufactured foods, along with different meat products, dairy, things like that, are full of cholesterol. And foods are substances, I would say. They're not even real foods. It's just things that our body does not recognize and therefore does not know how to digest, and therefore just kind of builds up and cause problems in our arterial system, in our nervous system, you know, just clogging everything up. So we have to be very conscious of what we put in our bodies, because like you said, a lot of people may complain of, you know, feeling tired. And they're like, well, I'm doing everything I feel like I can, but it's still things that we're putting inside our bodies that is probably causing those feelings of feeling tired and things like that. So yes, nutrition, like I said, the biggest thing is also that people don't eat a lot of whole foods or vegetables and fruit. We've gotten away from that. Usually, you know, growing up, we were told, make sure you have a vegetable on your plate or something like that. But now we have so much access to fast food. And, you know, we think of burgers and fries as a complete meal. But I mean, there's really very little nutrients that we're getting when we do that drive through. So our leafy green vegetables are great for a lot of different things. I used to talk a lot about high blood pressure, heart disease. So those leafy green vegetables have nitric oxide in there that actually help dilate our blood vessels, that actually help the blood flow, help our brain. Even now, they're doing studies to how nutrition relates to dementia. So it's just all connected. Like, we have to have our arterial system open to get the nutrients and the blood flow and the oxygen that we need. So if we're clogging those down with the different foods that we eat, there's no way our body, every single organ, like I said, including the brain, is going to get that those nutrients that we need. So we have to be very conscious of what we're eating and how much of it we're eating.
Again, you're singing. I feel like every minute I'm like, I'm your new fangirl. This is phenomenal. I love it. And you know, I'm very open on the show that I'm vegan and have been for many years. And I feel like that helps with eating whole foods, right? And you can be vegan and be a junk food junkie. And I am a junk food junkie. Mm-hmm. I just have to be, I actually look at every meal and go, is this virtuous? Am I being virtuous here? Or is this a non-virtuous meal? And I literally ask myself that. And I think, again, that's a mindset thing. So I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about some of the key things that people need to be looking for with respect to nutrition, as far as improving their health. Like, yeah, you can be plant-based, you can have very little, you know, animals in your diet and still be kind of unhealthy if you eat a lot of French fries, for example. So what are the few key things that you would recommend people look to improving their health through nutrition?
Yes. So I'm glad you mentioned that about the junk food junkie, because I used to tell people, I was like, that was me. Like, when I first went vegetarian in when I was 16, is that my idea of a meal was a Big Mac with no meat and French fries. Right. So I'm like, hey, I don't have any meat. So I'm doing great. So the key would be a whole food. So usually people are like, what do you mean by that? So the easiest thing I tell people is, like, if you can recognize it without a label, then you're probably good. Especially like we look at the produce, because people are like, if I don't eat meat or if I don't eat dairy, then what's left? I'm like, there's like hundreds of different types of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and the ways that you can put those things together. I mean, you can have a new meal every single day of the year, you know, for just sure. The way that you look at that. So the simplest thing is look for the things in the produce aisle, things that don't need a label that you can recognize, something that would, you know, grow naturally out of the ground. You know, you just are there and like in a garden, you know, or, you know, in a farm, you know, what do you have there that, you know, would actually come out the ground and you can eat it straight like that, you know? And then just making sure that when you look at your plate, that it's full of different colors. I'll say, you know, they say eat the rainbow, and I tell people not Skittles, because Skittles is vegan, but it's not, it has no nutrients in there. So like you may do your leafy greens, you may do like a sweet potato and then some lentils, you know, and you just look at your plate and you're like, it's full of color. There's different colors of potatoes. Sometimes people are afraid of potatoes, but there's not just the white baked potatoes that you can get at a steakhouse. I mean, there's purple potatoes, sweet potatoes. I was so intrigued by the purple potatoes when someone told me that. Like, I'm still learning, you know, new things that's out there that you can eat. Different herbs that you can add to foods that make it so fresh. And I actually was watching a documentary that talked about, you know, where people's like, well, we have to have meat, but we, because you have no flavor if you don't have meat. And they're like, what do you use to flavor your meat? Plants. So therefore, right, you can eat the plants and not have the meat and get all the flavor and nutrients that you need. So, and then sometimes it just takes trial and error for some people, where they just feel like when it's something new, you have to try different recipes. There's so many plant-based cookbooks or vegan cookbooks out there that actually relate to different cultures. So people may say like I grew up eating soul food. So there's so many different like soul vegan cookbooks and shows. And we even have a soul food vegan restaurant here in California where I go to a lot. And so there's so many things that you can do. And I just tell people to be open and curious, because when you actually do that, you're like, your mind will be blown about how many options are out there for you to eat and eat healthy.
Mic drop. There you go. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's interesting to me, like I actually will eat canned foods, but the thing about canned foods for me is I look at the ingredients and go, can I pronounce mm-hmm. the names of all of these ingredients? Mm-hmm. And I look for things that are less than six ingredients. That's, I heard that somewhere and I went, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So mm-hmm. if you're having, for example, a can of black beans, because I don't have room in my tiny New York City kitchen to soak beans. So I'll buy canned yes. beans, but it'll be canned beans and that's it, right? I'm not a big right. salt person. So there's one ingredient in the can. That's not bad. That's pretty good. Right. In fact, that I can feel virtuous about, as I said earlier. So there are things like that that we can incorporate into our diet, even in addition to the whole foods. What are your thoughts on that?
I totally agree. Especially when people talk about how eating plant-based or vegan or healthy is expensive. So the cans are definitely a way to go. Like you said, canned beans, and it may have like salt and water in beans, you know, something like that. Or even your canned green beans or canned, I don't say canned fruit because it usually adds sugar. But canned if you corn. Have to do canned corn, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can actually get that in if you're, you know, you're like, I want it to be a little bit healthier than, like, especially with the beans. I tell people, you know, just put them in a strainer and rinse them off. So anything that's, you know, that you think would be on there, you can actually do that. But canned is definitely a way to decrease your expenses. So that way you're not feel like you're wasting food, because if you get something that's fresh, you have to eat it within a certain time. Rice would be the same thing. You know, that's a staple food, quinoa, different things like that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be in the produce aisle, but you still, like you said, ingredients. And that's a key too. Like if you can't pronounce it, that means it was chemically made and it's probably not the best for you. Five or six ingredients that's in there, that's great. I talk about that all the time too, especially more for budget sake, because people are very afraid that they're going to break their budget. And I like to tell them too that, hey, if we don't change something now, you're going to be paying that food budget in medicine. So, you know, which one do you want to spend your money on? So they like that too.
Exactly. And in one of those scenarios, you feel good still. And in the other one, you're sick and you're trying to get better. So there is that.
Yes.
You know, Hippocrates famously said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. And it seems to me like that's your sort of philosophy, which I think is great. But something that I'm curious about, and I was talking about this to another guest recently, is that it seems to me that some of the innovations that we have nowadays are actually going back in time. You know, some of this eat whole foods, that was happening a lot more even just 100 years ago. What are your thoughts on that as far as how our trends are going, that so many people now are starting to look to work like you're doing to see about how to use food to feel better?
So yeah, that is definitely one of my theme quotes, is let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. And it is, like, we feel like we had to have all this extra technology to actually treat illness and disease. And we actually just can go back to the basics. Like, we didn't need all this. And most modern medicine was really meant to prevent more of those diseases that would cause infections. So those infectious diseases type thing. And that's why I think the medical field is feeling burdened now, because most people that had like illnesses, they would either die young, they wouldn't actually grow old. But now people are living with these chronic illnesses longer. And now we're trying to figure out more of what we can do to actually come up with a new medication that will actually target this one disease, instead of going back to the basics of what can we do as far as lifestyle. That's why I now love lifestyle and preventative medicine, because you don't have to go to that extreme. And even one of the quotes that one of the previous doctors had was, a young doctor would have like 10 different medicines to treat one illness, but an older seasoned physician will have one medicine to treat 10 different illnesses. And you can use that as nutrition, right? So So I think the health field is definitely coming around, coming back to where we started, to get people healthier, not just have the numbers to be better.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I am so grateful to you for taking the time to be on the show. I would love it if you would, if people are going, I need to know more about Dr. Amanda. Can you give, I'm going to put of course, the links in the show notes, but people learn differently. And so would you mind giving sort of your Instagram, your socials, your website, just so that we have it on here on audio, and it'll also be in the show notes.
Yes. So I am Dr. Amanda Atkins, and Atkins is spelled A-D-K-I-N-S, not to be confused with the other Atkins, because we have different views. And I'm on Instagram and Facebook on both of those. And then my website is dramandamd.com. So you can come there, learn lots of information. And then I'm also on YouTube, and you can just search for me for also Dr. Amanda Atkins. So very easy. Just look for my name.
Awesome. And I will have all of that in the show notes. And if you're interested in nutrition and in preventing disease and other issues through nutrition, obviously, you know who to talk to. Dr. Amanda, I would love to thank you for being on the show. I have just one last question before we sign off. And it's a simple question, but I find that it can yield some profound answers. And the question is this: if you had an airplane, environmentally friendly, of course, that could skywrite anything for the whole world to see, what would you say?
You cannot out-exercise a bad diet.
Ooh, again, mic drop. I love that. I love, love, love that. That would be a wonderful thing to see, because it's so true. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Amanda, for being on the show. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you and the work that you're doing to help people feel better, not just look better. That is fabulous. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate being on. Have a good day.
Thanks. This is Isolde Trachtenberg for the Innovative Mindset Podcast, reminding you to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2022. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, remember to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind.